What did this do to you? Tell me. And remember, this is for posterity, so be honest.
But tonight, we dine in hell!
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass.
This stuff will make you a goddamn sexual tyrannosaurus. Just like me.
So if you're an ass muppet fan, you go ahead and mouth off.
I said, do I look like a beautiful blonde with big tits and an ass tastes like Brent Miller?
Mine is strength and lust and power!
Wake up. Time to die.
Oh, shit! I was just about to pop my cookies!
Hello, and welcome to the 10th episode of Son of Odin's podcast. I'm your host, C. Hagen Raddick, a.k.a. Son of Odin. Hey, I managed to do 10 episodes here. Wasn't quite sure if I was going to make double digits or not, but looks like I made it. Anyway, I got something special planned here coming up in just a few minutes. Kind of as a little celebration and reward kind of to myself and kind of to you guys, too, for listening all this time and putting up with some of my drunken rambling bullshit. Speaking of drunken rambling, let's go ahead and jump into this week's booze. I've got the New Albanian Tunnel Vision. It says Royal Walorian Ale, but actually in taste, it kind of tastes like a Dunkelweizen to me, which is a dark wheat beer. Obviously very yeasty flavor to it. Doesn't get much head on it, but it's got a little bit. Flavor's pretty rich. A Dunkelweizen is not one of my favorite styles, but this is a pretty good one, though, and it's brewed right across the river here in New Albany, Indiana. So it's got a little local flavor to it on top of it. The label's pretty cool looking too. It's got kind of a subterranean goddess thing going on, which is kind of neat looking. But yeah, pretty good beer. And we'll complain. So moving on to news. I don't really have much of anything this week. I guess the big news was today Gaddafi was killed. So depending on how you feel about that, it's either good news or kind of sad news. There's kind of a lot of mixed signals coming over from Libya as to whether or not he was this horrible dictator or if he was actually doing, you know, good stuff for the people there. But, you know, it is what it is. I guess we'll see what happens over there now that he's gone. Weekly World News was actually reporting that he was killed by Chuck Norris, but I'm calling shenanigans on that because I think if Chuck Norris actually did it, there wouldn't be enough left to identify a body, so I'll just say he was killed by the Marines, because, you know, the Weekly World News is the absolute bastion of authentic, honest reporting, but, you know, and I said, goodbye, Mr. Gaddafi, for better or for worse. As I said last week and the weeks previous, I did have something special planned for week 10 here, and I was able to make it happen. I recorded a segment here with one of my old acquaintances this past Sunday morning, and without any further ado, let's just jump right into it. Hey folks, I'd like to introduce you to my former college roommate. This is Karnak the Magnificent. Introduce yourself, Karnak.
Aloha, Karnak here in Taipei, Taiwan. And it's an honor to be on the show tonight.
Thank you and welcome. What you been doing lately?
Very little. I've basically just been working and hanging out at home. I haven't had a chance to actually do anything since probably last spring, because I've just been working so much. I know, it's a boring and dull life, although I have caught a lot of movies through rental, so.
Sounds like a plan.
Yep.
Let me just introduce this little segment here. Since this is the 10th episode, thought I'd do something a little bit different. Going to be going through Karnak's and mine top 10 guilty pleasure movies, which these are movies that are disliked or hated or whatever by critics and or the public at large, but we like them for some reason. So.
It's a perfect list, I guarantee you.
Say again?
I says it's an eclectic list, I guarantee.
I'm sure. I know mine's odd.
just to let everybody know, the son of Odin and I have not yet shared our list with each other, so neither of us knows what's going to actually be on there. We both have some inkling of some of the things that will probably be on there, but this will come as a shock to both of us as well. So get your IMDb ready, folks.
Yeah, I got mine up.
Yeah, mine's right here. I've got two tabs of IMDb ready to go.
Oh, I got all 10 of mine open already.
Yeah, but it's not on your. But you don't have a 32-inch monitor.
No, it's only 21-inch.
Well, you know, can't help it when you're small. It's just.
Yeah. Well, what can I say?
All right. So, how should we do this? Should we do it? You go, I go, or should we do it like you go with all, or
let's go. I go, you go, you go, I go, whatever.
Okay.
You wanna go first?
Sure. All right, my first one is Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Classic.
This movie is absolutely ridiculous, and it was made to be ridiculous. And there are just some scenes in it that I can't. I mean, I laugh uncontrollably, regardless of how stupid they are. So you know, there's an undercover agent wearing a giant tomato outfit, and they're eating hot dogs around the campfire, and he asks someone to pass the ketchup. I don't know why. I think it's just comedy gold. No, I thought so when I was 6. I still think so now.
Absolutely. All right. Well, you have anything else to say?
No.
Okay. My number 10 is 1999's Entrapment, featuring an aged Sean Connery and possibly the best scene in cinema of Catherine Zeta-Jones in a skin-tight black outfit squatting underneath a bunch of fake lasers. I guess they're rope or string or something like that. It was actually list. Actually, if you want
review, that makes your whole month.
Well, yeah, I was actually watching this with the director commentary on, and before that scene starts, he goes, "Okay, now comes everybody's favorite scene in the movie."
Down.
And it is bookmarked on the DVD, so you can actually go directly to that scene over and over and over again if you so choose.
Cool. I have an LC media player. I can just loop it with or I could maybe stream it out to a software. Just make a loop of that. So all right, cool. That's a great one though. All right, my next one. It's an obscure title, Mr. Boogity. Do you have any recollection of that movie at all?
I don't know if I've ever seen it, or at least not in a coherent state.
It's a Disney tween horror movie, and it's I believe it's from Disney. Actually, for some reason now I'm drawing a blank. Can IMDb it here while I talk about it? The reason I like it is it scared the crap out of my cousins when they were little, and they used to make me watch it with them. I'm about 5 or 6 years older than the oldest one, and about 12 years older than the youngest one. They would say, "Hey, come watch this movie with us." And of course, I thought it was totally, utterly stupid. But there's this great scene where the villain, Mr. Boogity, he's floating in the living room or something, and he's going boogity boo. I recall a time when the son of Odin and I were in our apartment in college, and I was using almost the exact same voice to call up through the vent work to the bedroom where our friend's sister was sleeping, and she was not in the least bit happy about it, partially because we'd all been up to about 4 in the morning, and it was probably about 8 in the morning when I was doing this, and it was really loud, and we were all still pretty much fairly lit up. It was a classic moment. So, oops. Er, boogity. All right. 1986 is when this movie came out. And doesn't say who. I can't get the quick info on if it was a Disney movie or not. Must not have been. But anyway, very silly movie. All right, yours, sir. Your shot.
All right, this is kind of an odd choice, but it's 2006's Ultraviolet, starring Mia Jovovich. It's kind of the futuristic thing where the vampire virus is, like, contagious or whatever, and she's, like, trying to find a cure and stuff. It's not very good, plot-wise, but it looks really slick, and I don't know, there's just some reason I like it. I can't really explain it. And I'm not even a big Mia Jovovich fan, but I don't know, some stupid reason I like that movie. It's just very stylistic and looks really kind of cool.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I'll have to check it out. My next is not another teen movie. This one replaced one that is actually was actually quite popular at the time. So I chose this simply because it was not very well reviewed by the critics, but personally, I thought it was great. It would be a great drinking game for people who grew up in the 80s and 90s and, you know, and who remember all those movies and to as a challenge to figure out which movie they're making reference to. You know, because they reference all the 80s movies. They go to John Hughes High School and, Mark is in the movie. Ferris Bueller's father is in the movie. The principal from The Breakfast Club is in the movie. So it not only is paying homage to those things, it's actually starring some of those actors and actresses that were from the 80s. It's an odd choice, but because it's just kind of a blah movie. I mean, the story is exactly the same as Pretty in Pink, but overall, I thought it was a great movie, and I've watched it several times recently. So, yep, that's my next one. Yours.
I've never seen that one either, so. But, my next one is a very classic movie from 1988. This is the post-apocalyptic thriller Hell Comes to Frogtown.
Jeez.
This is absolutely genius. It stars Rowdy Roddy Piper as John Hell in a post-apocalyptic world where the majority of the human population is now sterile. However, Rowdy Roddy Piper runs into government agent Sandal Bergman, who you might remember as Valeria from Conan the Barbarian. Who's a government agent, and she determines that he is sterile. So she slaps on him a lockable and explosive rig codpiece to keep his junk intact because it's now the property of the human government. And then you add another plot where the mutant humanoid frogs are trying to blow up something or other, and it's just all sorts of fucking crazy.
My God. I think I watched part of that movie once. Maybe we watched it together at the
That's where we saw it. It was on late night cable or something one night, and it was it's out of print right now. I would just love to have this movie though. It's just so fucking bizarre.
Yeah, I remember
it's awesome.
I remember thinking, what the Yeah. Alright, that's a good one. I didn't put mine actually in too much order.
Mine's loose order, so it's.
Yeah, I'll loosely order it up. We'll call it the next one, Slacker. Slacker's an art house film, and, it really takes, Slacker's one of those movies that it's a taste that you have to acquire over time. It starts out pretty cool, and it's interesting to follow along, but it becomes dull and boring if you don't. If you don't remember that all these people are supposed to represent a certain type, Slacker. Like they're all variations on a theme. People who can't shut up, and
look at those.
And so there's some great. Of course, there are some great scenes. You should quit. You should quit. I should know. I'm a doctor. And there's some good movies or some good scenes in that movie. And it takes a little while to get through it, you know, to understand, okay, I see they're trying to make a statement, you know, here. And it, like I said, it's an indie film from students at University of Texas at Austin. It was all shot in Austin, Texas. But, you know, it's worth a look-see just once just to see what the limits of what art house can do. Because it's a very unusual style where it doesn't follow one storyline, rather. It follows a personality type. And the personality type is people who cannot shut up. All right, you're
good times.
Yeah.
This one's kind of an odd choice, too, but I like it. It's 1994's Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
That was a well-received movie, I thought.
It was and it wasn't. I mean, just a lot of people just hate Jim Carrey, although I think this was, like, before he started becoming a parody of himself.
Yeah.
Because
that movie is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was post In Living Color, and yeah. You know, he had some, like, really no-name movies before that, but this is kind of where he shut out. And you had the whole subplot with the... You know, you had Dan Marino in it, and what was her name? Sean Young as the police chief with the extra stuff.
Yeah, that's right. that movie was fantastic.
I pretty much hate Jim Carrey movies, too. Pretty much everything after this one. I mean, The Mask was all right, because well, that's actually when Catherine Diaz looked good.
I liked Liar Liar.
That was a better one.
And Truman Show, of course, is that's a pretty heavy movie. So some of those are okay, but some of the other ones are where he's just totally out of control. But I guess it's the more recent Jim Carrey is better than the.
Well, he's starting to reel it in a little bit more here. I think he's started realizing that he was not selling it being Jim Carrey anymore. I think when he had that little bit of success with Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing Mr. Popper's Penguins right now, which, really?
Yeah, that's not... Some of those are bad ideas, but you know, the one where he... suddenly, with Morgan Freeman, I'm suddenly drawing a blank.
Bruce Almighty?
Yeah, Bruce Almighty. That's a good movie, too. So some are okay, but yeah, the ones where he just tries to go over the top... And I don't think he can physically do that for very much longer. I mean, you can't, you know, some of that comedy is crazy. Do you know what the first movie, his big breakout, I mean, actually, it's not a big breakout, but his first Hollywood role in the major movie, do you have any idea?
Was it a vampire movie?
No.
He was in a vampire. That's Nick Cage. Never mind. I'm the wrong guy. There. Go ahead.
He was in the Deadpool. It was a Dirty Harry film.
Oh.
He was
the one with the remote control cars.
Pardon?
The one with the remote control car.
Anyway, he was a deranged rock star guy who OD'd or something. I think right in front of Dirty Harry. I can't remember the scene, but I know he goes crazy and he acts like himself. So okay, all right. I guess it's my turn. We'll go with. Missing in Action 2, The Beginning. The only reason I like it is because I basically like to see Chuck Norris beat the crap out of people pushing it up. And there's a slow motion scene of some dude getting his brains blown out that like sticks in your head. Like, ooh, that's nasty. But otherwise, it's just an excuse to have Chuck Norris, you know, kick ass and blow shit up. And it was at the time when... movies like Uncommon Valor and Rambo and all these things were big, you know, and in that sort of that 20 years after Vietnam time when it was okay to make movies about it and, oh, we got to go back and get our guys and, you know, and this one was probably one of the most lame. And, you know, Chuck Norris is awesome. But a lot of not all of his movies are awesome. And this is one that was,
your tongue. Every Chuck Norris movie is awesome.
Yeah, because anything Chuck Norris does is awesome. And that's how I feel about this movie. I love it because it's got Chuck Norris in it. Anyway, so that's my next one. So what's your next?
1996 is The Craft.
Okay.
That's the one with Robin Tunney, who's the female lead in The Mentalist right now.
Yeah.
It's stupid supernatural, kind of a precursor what ended up being, what was it, Charmed?
Oh, yeah.
It's not the same universe by anything, but I think it kind of led into that, because I think Charmed, like, started a few years after that. Basically, it's just a whole bunch of hot chicks and magic and Frieza Bulk just going absolutely batshit insane, and although Neve Campbell doesn't die, which, you know, would have made it a lot better. Because I hate Neve Campbell.
No hostility there.
Yeah, hot chicks magic.
Yeah, hot chicks and magic. Which is
stupid fun.
A big theme in lots of stuff after that. I mean, hot chicks and supernatural, hot chicks and magic became... That was kind of the watermark where all that started. Hot chicks and magic. Which, you know, the audience, who's it aimed at? I'm not exactly sure, but I'm pretty sure it's aimed at guys who play D&D a lot.
Yeah, well, according to IMDb, the tagline was, it's Carrie meets Clueless.
Okay.
Which about sums it up.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's stupid fun. Hey.
All right, what do we got on deck next? Well, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Which, of course, I didn't do enough of my homework, and so I don't have all the years on these things. But Pee-wee's Big Adventure, I don't know why, I know that movie is a cult classic, and it received really mixed reviews. Most of them not so good. But again, it's one of those movies that the characters stick in your head, and there are moments and scenes that stick in your head. You know, and I your character's like Large Marge. Who comes up with the idea for that thing? And, you know, and I thought it was really funny. The premise was kind of cute, actually. And, you know, and it was sort of a silly, fun adventure story. And it had material for kind of lots of ages. You know, material that people of all ages can appreciate. So that, you know, it's kind of a weird one to add on there, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I never got into Pee-wee Herman as a kid. It's kind of like right on the tail end of the age range, and just, I don't know, never really found him all that funny, but a lot of people liked him.
I'm not into Pee-wee Herman at all. And boy, that could come out the wrong way. I was never that interested in the entertainment that Pee-wee Herman had to offer, but I do like Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
So. Okay.
Okay, yours.
Moving over to Japan, Takashi Miike's Ichi the Killer. Oh. You ever seen this one?
Yes. It's on late night TV here all the time.
it's just so over the top, fucking insane.
It really is.
And especially when the movie really is not even about Ichi. It's about that other dude.
Yeah.
The dude with the rings in his face so he could unhinge his jaw. And
The movie, well, it's just one of those movies where you kind of think, okay, it's like they had a big bag full of fucked up ideas, and then they dumped it out on the table, and they said, okay, let's make a sequence of scenes just randomly organizing all this crap.
Because Tetsuo the Iron Man was entirely too linear and easy to follow.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I you could use that to lay out bridge designs. All right. You know, so last week you had a Tor Johnson film, and I had Plan 9 from Outer Space because all those weird ass science fiction films from the late 50s rock. I just picked one. I picked the one that is most reflected in the film of our time. Because now it seems like, let me tell you something about the film channels here in Taiwan. About once every 4.5 months, all the major movie channels seem to be showing primarily zombie movies 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's zombie movies, vampire movies, alien movies, aliens making zombies movies, aliens making vampires. Plan 9 is great because the aliens make both zombies and vampires. It's kind of a pinky in the brain sort of a plot. So I chose Planet 9 from Outer Space as my representative 1950s B sci-fi horror movie.
Now, do you know they're actually planning on remaking that?
Yeah, I've heard that.
With a budget to try and make it, you know, a serious actual film.
Yeah, but it's still going to be aliens making zombies and vampires, which is just freaking stupid. Sorry.
We just had Cowboys and Aliens come out. You know, it's...
Yeah, and I actually happen to like those actors, which is really sad.
Yeah, because I heard the movie wasn't that good.
No, really? I'm shocked. I would have put a classic right up there with Citizen Kane. Top 10 greatest movies of all time. Citizen Kane, Wizard of Oz, Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah, I thought it'd at least be fun as a dumb action movie, but apparently it even failed on that level, so.
Schlock. Absolute schlock. All right, what's your next one?
Going over to Hong Kong. 1993's The Heroic Trio.
Okay.
Starring the late Anita Mui, Maggie Cheung, and Michelle Yeoh. Basically, there are three pseudo-superheroes that are fighting this... demon thing that's like getting children and stuff. And there's this scene at the end where like he gets all his skin burned off and his skeleton attaches to Michelle Yeoh and she's like making everybody, she's fighting against everybody else. It's, you know, wires and not so special effects. And
it's on
like, it's like the best of the worst of the Hong Kong, you know, chop sucky movies.
That's funny. It's funny because my next choice is Gymkhana, which...
Fucking awesome. I love that movie as a fucking kid.
And, you know, the funny thing about it is people make fun of it. It got horrible reviews. It really is a travesty. But it was on, like, at least once a month on Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon movies. And it was almost always on a day... when it was raining and crappy outside and there were no games on TV to watch or anything. And it was a school weekend, you know, where you really couldn't go out and party or anything. And you basically had nothing to do except watch Gymkhana. And,
I actually taped this off TV and had that on VHS. I used to just watch it over and over again. Fast forward through the commercials though, cause
yeah,
it was on like the early Fox network or something.
Classic. It's a classic. What's your penultimate? Your second from the top. What's your next one?
Three more.
I got.
You went first.
No, I'm sorry. I got three more. Yeah, that's right. I got three more.
Okay. Big Trouble in Little China.
I thought that one got pretty good reviews.
I thought everybody hated that one.
Everybody hates.
Talks about how bad it is and.
I liked it. I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's John Carpenter doing an homage to the stupid Hong Kong action movie.
Yeah.
I think it's tons of fucking fun.
Yeah, I thought it came across pretty well. I don't know why that got. If you got bad reviews, I love it. So
I think it's one that's been liked more in later years. Cause I think when it came out, everybody thought it was stupid. They didn't get it.
Yeah, they do.
And it wasn't really horror, because it's John Carpenter, but...
Yeah.
And everybody was expecting, I don't know, something...
Something different.
Something different, but, you know, Kurt Russell as Jack Burton gets some of the best lines.
Well, pick Kurt Russell. He's in a lot of movies that could make this list.
True.
He's like a kind of a perpetual B, or, you know, not B movie, but perpetual questionable movie. You know, star. But, yeah, Kurt Russell. Anyway, yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah.
My next one is, it's for TV, the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah, because, I tell you, the thing where you see Boba Fett talking, and You know, and back in the 70s, he wasn't a Maori. And so he said, I am Boba Fett. Not, I might on Boba Fett. And
not quite as bad as the takes where they show David Prowse actually voicing the Darth Vader lines.
He's just like, bring me the president, I want him alive! I still wouldn't mess with the guy. He was like 6'7" and he was strong. Anyway,
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
You know, I kind of find your lack of faith sort of disturbing over there. I'm just, now I'm imagining lots of scenes. You know what? Guess what, Luke? I'm your father. He had a Scottish accent, but it's more fun to think of him as just like a whiny Seinfeld character. There are several segments in it. Some of them are good. I thought the animated segment was interesting, and it gave way to some brief animated stuff that that Lucas did with the Droids cartoon series, and it gave some expanded universe stuff. And I'm a big Star Wars fan, but I love the whole Wookiee plot surrounding Chewbacca's family. And the weirdest scene in the movie is when Chewbacca's father sits down in this, like, I don't know, acid trip chamber, has a hallucination about a rock concert, and it's just the most bizarre thing.
Oh, that's right.
Ever. And it's totally out of context and doesn't fit in any way into anything that you could imagine. It's just like they stuffed it in there. And the other part about it is it was a holiday special, but of course it's a Star Wars universe. There's no Christmas and stuff like that. It was just on during the holidays. And it was a weird experience, but I like it. I've managed to find bits and pieces of it in YouTube over the years. So
yeah, there's like a short version on YouTube. It's, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes or something instead of the whole
hour,
but it just goes through the highlights.
Yeah. So all right, what's your next one?
The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Andrew Dice fucking Clay. Versus Wayne Newton.
the concept. You know, that's not the first time that Wayne Newton was the adversary of somebody. And you know, you don't think about Wayne Newton as being an adversarial kind of guy.
Until he does it. And you're like going, ew.
It's creepy. Like when he was in that Bond movie as a bad guy, playing a cult leader. And in real life, he was paranoid. He thought Johnny Carson was out to get him.
Well, then you got Robert Englund in there, too, as Mr. Smiley. Hello, hello.
Robert,
come on, you and me, mano a mano.
Robert Englund is way underrated as an actor. I think he's fantastic. Yeah, he got pigeonholed with V and then with Freddy Krueger. So, that kind of that hurt him. But that's too bad because he's pretty good. He's got a great humor, it's a great comedy presence. So, but Ford Fairlane was a fantastic movie.
Yeah. And you got Ed O'Neill doing Booty Time.
Yeah. Speaking of Booty Time, I almost put Pootie Tan on this list.
We can go through our honorable mentions or whatever when we're done. If we want.
All right. So now it's our number one, right?
Yeah.
Convoy!
Oh, sweet. Chris Christopherson.
Convoy. That movie, I saw it in the theater.
Wow.
After my parents had been to see it, my uncle went to see it, and he said it was good, of course. And then my parents went to see it. And, we had CB radios, and boy, we used those things all the time in those days. And, when you were country folk, that's how you communicated with people,
I know. Actually, the first time I heard that song was on 8-track.
Yeah. My uncle had the album in his 8-track player in his combine. And it was my first ever LP that I owned.
Nice.
That, I got that one and two Mickey Mouse Club LPs the same year that I got my record player. So it was a big Christmas for me. And I listened to that Convoy album probably about 1.5 million times.
Has your mother forgiven you yet?
No, we don't talk about that movie or anything anymore. But that was, you know, and it was exciting, you know. It was like the second or third movie I'd ever seen, and, you know, and it was so exciting. So I was a little kid, but yeah, that's my number one for my guilty pleasure. And it's kind of a fun movie to watch, you know, now 30 some odd years on, it's still a fun movie to watch. So, all right, what's yours?
This should be no surprise. Meet the Feebles.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Absolutely fucking insane. I think I talked about this episode 6. I did a whole long diatribe on it.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, when you were talking about it, I just kept thinking about all the other things Peter Jackson has done since then. And I think, you know, which one is real?
You got to remember, this is his second movie, and the first one he did was Bad Taste, which, did you ever see that one?
No.
Was it
awesome with Meet the Feebles?
It had a lower budget. Peter Jackson plays like this character in it, and he falls and like hits his head and cracks his skull open. His brains keep leaking out, so he keeps having to duct tape his head back together to hold his brains in. It keeps coming loose. And there's these other aliens, and they're just basically people with masks and like fake fingers stuff on. And I can't remember how it ends now, but I mean. He did that, then he did Meet the Feebles, and after that he did Dead Alive.
Yeah.
Man. That zombie movie, and like it's still like one of the most gory movies ever made.
Yes.
Even though it's comedic.
Yeah, it's, I guess, then there was a hiatus, though, you know? He didn't make many movies after that for a while.
Well, he did, but they were all serious ones. He did, what was it, Heavenly Creatures?
Uh-huh.
And, was it? Saving Silver, not Saving Silverman, Forgotten Silver.
Yeah, Forgotten Silver, Saving Silver.
He did the Frighteners shortly after that. Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah. Oh, you're good. Then you mean Back to the Future.
Yeah, I hate Michael J. Fox, but...
Well...
Yeah, my ideal movie is a movie with Neve Campbell, Michael J. Fox, and Pauly Shore, and they all die horrible deaths, like, over and over again.
What about Emo Phelps?
He's funny. I like him.
Oh, man.
He's a UHF, damn it.
I know people like him. Yeah, UHF was on my alternate list as well. Actually, so was Kentucky Fried Movie and Amazon Women on the Moon. All of those were on my alternate list, along with Pootie Tang. What was on your alternate list?
Into the Blue, mostly because it's a pre-baby Jessica Alba running around in a bikini and getting wet over and over again. Van Helsing, Hugh Jackman, Kate Beckinsale. Gia, which has the extended scene of Angelina Jolie in full frontal.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that movie. I'll have to find it.
Yeah, the movie's not all that entertaining, but that scene's rather good.
Jolie naked is entertaining.
Yeah. Clue.
I thought that was a great movie.
Absolutely.
But, you know, Tim Curry makes everything when he's in a movie. He's fantastic.
And then I think I had Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2 in there yet, and that's just mostly just giving a finger to the first movie.
Yeah.
That's why I own a copy of Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2, because I hated Blair Witch 1 so much.
Blair Witch, like, creeped me out the first time I saw it. That was mostly because I was really tired, and I'd just taken, like, a bunch of midterm exams or something, and I was like, oh, that's pretty wild, man. But then my friends wanted me to go see it with them again, and I was like, okay. I saw it again. I was like, what the fuck is this? This is...
Okay. The first one or the second one?
The first one. And I was like, I get what they're doing, but it was annoying. And then the Blair Witch too. It was giving Blair Witch the finger.
It's just so fucked up. Made no sense.
Yeah, it really made no sense. I don't really know 100% where they were going with it, but yeah, I'm glad I didn't spend money on that one at least. So that kind of rounds out my list of stuff. Do you have any other alternates that were on there?
No, I only had like four or five.
Yeah.
Whatever those were.
I have a handful of other ones that maybe I'll save for a different time when we talk about stuff again. So it was great to talk about this, discuss this stuff with you, and hopefully I can stick around and provide some commentary on everything else that you're working on for this week's episode. All right.
Sounds like a plan. Should mention that you and I have a pseudo blog at themoshpit.net.
Yes, indeed we do.
If they ever want to see or hear more of your ramblings.
Yeah, it really is kind of an extension of who both of us are. It's like my image of when I'm writing stuff, a lot most of the time it's the kind of things that I would say or talk or discuss with Thrasher here if we were at the bar and it was after class or something or after work or whatever, and we were just talking about stuff that...
Or it was a day that ended in Y.
Yeah. Something like that. After past noon somewhere on Earth, we'd sit there and just philosophize about some of the most inane stuff and laugh and joke about some crap we'd seen and occasionally have serious discussions about stuff. I guess I tend to be the more serious one on the blog, or the more like really hard to understand humor one, I guess.
We can blame that on you being overseas for the last, what, 15 years?
Yeah, a lot of it is my twisted outlook on life since I've been overseas for most of the last 15 years. And so I have a different perspective on things now. And it's not always easy to find an outlet to share my thoughts about stuff, because people over here don't give two hoots about, what I think about the attitudes toward 4th of July in the U.S. and stuff like this. It's we have a good time. We talk a lot about bacon, and we are fairly misogynist, so be careful. It's all in good fun. Don't take it too seriously.
I don't think anybody that actually listens to this podcast actually takes anything too seriously.
That's probably true.
Because I'm usually drunk when I'm recording it.
Yeah, that's and you haven't had time enough to get drunk yet this morning. So
yeah, it's. It is afternoon now, so I can go get something.
Yeah, go crack open a beer before we go.
That involves moving.
It's time to end this segment, but like I said, I'll try to stick around for the rest of the show and throw in any comments I can along the way. We hope you enjoy our little segment, and I look forward to coming back and doing this again sometime soon, okay?
All right. Thanks, Karnak.
Okay.
Take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, hope you enjoyed that previous segment there. Thought I might be doing something a little bit special and you could hear somebody else besides me for a change. And hopefully you enjoyed. Make sure to let me know what you thought about that. Anyway, just to stay with the formula a little bit, I'm going to just do a mini media review. This week, it's going to be 1984 trauma classic, The Toxic Avenger. Now, the story behind this, I think, is pretty straightforward. I know a lot of people have seen this already, but in short, there's a mop boy, so I guess is what his role is, at the local gym in Tromaville, named Melvin, and he's a little slow, and as such, he kind of pisses off the local toughs, and one day when they try to embarrass him, he ends up falling into a vat of toxic waste and mutates into a giant, super strong, but horribly disfigured creature who, kind of takes it upon himself to start, righting wrongs in the community. And along the way, he happens to meet a blind girl who falls in love with him because she can't see how ugly he is. And even feeling his face, she doesn't seem to care. And there's a plot where the mayor is actually very crooked, and he tries to frame Toxie for the murder of a woman, even though it turns out that she was a sleazeball. But that ends up not working, and the town rallies behind him, and Toxie ends up killing the mayor, and happy ending for everybody involved. That's the short version of it, anyway. Like I said, I think a lot of people have seen this already. This is obviously one of the trauma classics. There's a lot of gore in here. Now, I saw the extended director's cut that was actually on the trauma DVD. And there's actually quite a bit of violence in here, you know, for something that was fairly comedic in tone and, you know, came out in the 80s when things were just still a little bit more conservative than they are now. Most primarily, there's a young child who's actually the first one to get killed and ends up being killed by getting his head run over by a car in very explicit detail, and then the thugs going out and taking Polaroids of said murder. And the blind girl's dog gets shot rather explicitly as well, even though, you know, they try to show its corpse and it's laying there breathing with a fake blood pack open on him. But anyway, if you can look past some of those kind of low-budget, shortcomings and stuff, the movie itself is just a lot of fun. So, as I said, it's a classic. If you have not seen it yet, you really owe it to yourself to, you know, check it out sometime. For plugs this week, I'm just going to reiterate what Karnak and I discussed in our conversation, and that is our mutual blog sort of thing. It's actually kind of like a Tumblr, even though it's not on Tumblr, but, you know, a lot of pictures, a lot of audio files, some random commentary and stuff. Anyway, that can be found at themoshpit.net. And that's kind of a throwback to what we called our house in college, because we had a wide open area upstairs and we cranked the music loud, and it basically ended up turning into a mosh pit after most parties. So hence the name, and it kind of stuck. Because I don't feel like self-promoting is the only thing I should do, I'm also going to send you to Action Figure Therapy, and that's at actionfiguretherapy.com. This site's quite funny. Basically consists of action figures, most primarily the 1980s G.I. Joes, which are the, what were they, 3 3/4 inches tall. And I got a shitload of them up in my attic still, because I never throw anything away and keep all my toys for some stupid reason. But anyway, this has to deal with them sitting on therapist couches and talking about their past history. You can find all those in the videos menu item. And they're quite hilarious, especially the ones with Beachhead, because he's just like a total fucking badass. The one I especially recommend is Honey Badger Blood Orgy, which is just absolutely fucking genius. So check it out. That's actionfiguretherapy.com/videos if you want to go directly to it. And enjoy. Let me know what you think. Speaking of letting me know what you think, still don't have any feedback. Hey, how about throwing me a bone or something here? Send me an email at chr@sonofodin.net. That's Charlie Hotel Romeo. You can follow me on Twitter @sonofodin. Of course, the podcast website is podcast.sonofodin.net. You can also leave a comment after each podcast show note page. There's also a Facebook page and a Google+, which you can find links on that site rather than try to read out a really ugly URL to you. Or alternately, if you'd like to talk rather than write, you can leave a voicemail at area code 224-ODIN-SUN. That's area code 224-634-6766. Hope to hear from you. Anyway, that's it for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. If you've been here for all 10 episodes, thanks for listening. Hope to do something special again around episode 25. Also, if you liked Karnak's participation in this episode and would like to hear him back for future segments, make sure to drop me a line, let me know. Or you can, you know, let the both of us know over at themoshpit.net. And I think that's all I got, so I'll just leave you with this closing song, which should be too much of a surprise. Anyway, thanks for listening. Bye.
Yeah, Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben, come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown, come on. Yeah, that's a big 10-4 there, Big Benny. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
It was the dark of the moon on the 6th of June in a Kenworth pulling logs. Cab over Pete with a reefer on and a Jimmy hauling hogs. We is heading for Bear on I-10 about a mile out of Shaky Town. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck and I'm about to put the hammer down.
Cause we got a little convoy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a little convoy. It's your beautiful sight. Come on, join our convoy. Ain't nothing gonna get in our way. We gonna roll this trucking convoy across the USA.
You want to back off them hogs? 10-4, about 5 miles or so. 10, roger, them hogs is getting intense up here.
By the time we got into Tulsa Town, we had 85 trucks in all. But they's a roadblock up on the Cloverleaf, and them bears was wall to wall. Yeah, them smokies as thick as bugs on a bumper. They even had a bear in the air. I says, calling all trucks, says, here's the duck. We about to go a-hunting bear.
Cause we got a great big car.
Big Ben. Negatory, Big Ben. You're still too close. Yeah, them hulk is starting to close up my sinuses. Mercy sakes, you better back off another 10.
Well, we rolled up Interstate 44 like a rocket sled on rails. We tore up all of our swindle sheets and left them setting on the scales. By the time we hit that shy town, them bears was getting smart. They'd brought up some reinforcements from the Illinois National Guard. There's armored cars and tanks and jeeps and rigs of every size. Yeah, them chicken coops was full of bears and choppers filled the skies. Well, we shot the line, we went for broke with 1,000 screaming trucks and 11 long-haired friends of Jesus in a chartreuse microbus.
Yeah, rubber duck to Sodbuster. Come on there. Yeah, 10-4 Sodbuster. Listen, you want to put that microbus in behind that suicide jockey? Yeah, he's hauling dynamite and he needs all the help he can get.
Well, we laid a strip for the Jersey Shore and prepared to cross the line. I could see the bridge was lined with bears, but it didn't have a doggone dime. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck. We just ain't going to pay no toll. So we crashed the gate doing 98. I says, let them truckers roll 10-4.
Cause we got a mighty convoy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a mighty convoy. Ain't she a beautiful sight? Come on and join our convoy. Ain't nothing gonna get in our way.
Big Ben, what's your 20? Omaha. Well, they ought to know what to do with them hogs out there for sure. Well, mercy sakes, good buddy. We're going to back on out here, so keep the bugs off your glass and the bears off your tail. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. This here's a rubber duck on the side. We gone. Bye-bye.
Son of Odin's podcast is a production of C. Hagen Radek and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, Unported license.